I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
We're back, bitches. It's been far too long. We took a wee break.
An eensy-weensy one.
Go us. It's the first break we've actually taken.
Yeah, because my life was a mess.
Everybody goes through stuff, Anna. It's
fine. I just had to move and start a new quarter in the same week, which, let me tell you, don't do that to yourself. That was not a good choice on my part.
Not recommended by Anna. Zero stars.
Zero stars. And work full-time. Just like, if I could give negative stars, I would do that.
I feel like there's a science joke in there, but
I don't know anything about astronomy or
space or physics. Ugh, good times. Well, we are so excited to be back with you, and so much wonderful content and also some shitty content, but we'll get to that.
So much.
But as we have mentioned in many a podcast prior to this, the NWSL Challenge Cup is back. And so we have soccer in the United States, things that are accessible at a reasonable time for us to watch. So that's nice.
It's much nicer than watching Australian games every once in a while at whatever god-awful time those are on at, or the games in England, which are on at the butt crack of dawn, which I'm not really interested in, quite honestly.
I believe that is the scientific term for that time of day.
We've demonstrated that we're both very good at science, so that makes a lot of sense.
Be good. So very, very glad to have that back. So most of our picks today will occur here in the U.S. of A. However, we will go down under for one. So Anna, would you like to start us off?
Yeah. So my number three hat pick this week are the goals that the stars aligned for us. So that makes like
science.
Sense. Yeah, we're really astronomy hard this one. I don't know how we got here, but you know what?
We're here.
Yeah. So this past Thursday, the Thorns were playing the Red Stars at the same time as the Washington Spirit were playing Racing Louisville. Like, one game started first, but what matters here is that there was a fair bit of overlap in the games. It was a 0-0 game for the entire first half and a first bit of the second half of the Thorns-Red Stars game. Then, in the 66th minute of the game, we see a goal for the Thorns from Morgan Weaver. So Celeste Bure sends a great ball up to about the 18 where it finds Morgan Weaver, who's going 1v1 with Casey Kruger, formerly Casey Short. She got married. Good for her.
Congrats.
Weaver takes a shot across her body, which finds the back post and then dings its way into the goal. It was an assist by the post. We love it. It was a solid goal. But what made it wild was the fact that in the Washington Spirit Racing Louisville game, Ashley Sanchez scored at the exact same time.
Wow.
So both teams played relatively well in this game for the first 90 minutes of the game, but we had no goals. So not only do we have goals where the stars aligned and they happened at the same time, but also a stoppage time goal. We love the drama.
Love it.
Ashley Sanchez, somehow, cosmically linked with the Stars and Morgan Weaver, and scored the winning goal for Washington. And you know, I'm sure you're wondering how she scored the goal, because clearly that game was not that interesting. Well, I'll tell you. The run starts with Tori Huster. Tori Huster has played with Washington Spirit for basically ever.
Yes.
And I think she's going to die with them. Mm-hmm. In the 93rd minute, she sends a beautiful ball after she cuts around a Louisville player to little Bebe Trinity Rodman. And she managed to get this ball in space again. She was onside by just a whisper.
Or a bay's whisker.
What's going to happen when we don't have games in Australia to watch?
I don't know.
You're going to have to learn some new accents.
God damn it. Or just speak in my normal voice, which is less fun.
Yeah, that's fair. But anyway, Trinity Rodman was onside by just a whisper of space. Rodman collects the ball almost at the end line, and then she cuts back and sends a solid ball across the goal, and Ashley Sanchez, feeling that cosmic energy.
Yes.
And I guess, like, her knowledge as a soccer player, being in the right place at the right time, you know, whatever. She puts herself in exactly the right spot to one-touch volley it into the goal. Michelle Batos, the Louisville goalie, got there but just wasn't able to stop it, which is unfortunate because it really was a stoppable goal. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you get a goal scored on you and you're like, I tried, but I wasn't going to get that. She tried and she could have gotten it and she just didn't, which is also just real rough. But I had these games going simultaneously on my computer screen while I was very engaged in my class, Sis, on Thursday. And not also watching the WNBA draft, you know, the way you multitask for your podcast. So I quite honestly had to stifle my reaction of mostly of surprise because I like looked in one corner of my screen and one goal happened. And I looked in the other corner of my screen and they were celebrating because they had just scored a goal. And I was like, wait, what just happened? And I was also glad that the Thorns won. So I also had to stifle that. But it was basically just a masterclass in acting. So important.
So talented.
You know, just multitasking, acting. I mean, what can't I do? Apparently know anything about space, but that's fine.
If you have any space comments you'd like to add, please email us at hapixpod@gmail.com.
Because we don't have any. But it was just wild that in both games, the first and only goals happened when the cosmos said it was time.
It is time. Like Lion King style. Well, my number three hat pick is just Trinity Rodman's performance in her two NWSL matches that she has played so far. Her first two, if you will. So just as a little refresher, little reminder for you. Way back when we covered the NWSL college draft many moons ago. Oh my God, with the space. I can't.
I didn't even do this on purpose.
It was not on purpose. I feel like space has to be in our title.
Obviously.
So Trinity Rodman, yes, Dennis Rodman's daughter. And that is the last we will mention of that because she is trying to make a name for herself.
And doing a good job of it.
Oh my God, seriously. So she was drafted number 2 overall by the Washington Spirit and at 18 is the youngest player ever drafted in the NWSL. Wow. So cool. So Rodman is definitely showing her many gifts and talents on the field already with just 2 appearances, as I mentioned previously, moments ago. So she already has a goal and an assist in this Challenge Cup. And I will go so far as to say, I'll go out on a limb here, trying to think of a space reference. I'm going to go out on a spacewalk here. And I know I never say this, but that is pretty nutso butso that she's already done that in her first 2 appearances. So I think she has a super promising future, hopefully with the U.S. Women's National Team, because Anna pointed out, Anna, my co-host.
Yeah, me, so, yeah.
She, like, that she is, like, chef's kiss combo of Kristen Press and Tobin Heath. And we would love to see that on the U.S. Women's National Team. And we would love to see them all play together.
Yes, please.
What magic that would be. Oh, my goodness. So let's touch base. Let's come back around to that goal and the assist. So in the interest of time, I will just be focusing on these. But I highly recommend watching her play in both of these games. First, which is versus the North Carolina Courage. Bleh, and the second versus Racing Louisville FC. She just reads the ball well, has a lot of power and skill, goes to great lengths to stick with the ball, and also she is fast. And I would just like to point out, see what I did there, announcers? Acknowledging the well-rounded player that she is and not just focusing on her speed and quote-unquote natural ability? Wow, that was super hard. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't.
Wow.
So anyway, I feel like I spelled that out. So first match versus the Courage. The Spirit go up early, but North Carolina responds with 2 additional goals in the first half and an early 3rd goal in the second half. So it is not looking great for the Spirit. Probably 0 Spirit fingers happening on that sideline for them. So in the 55th minute, Rodman is subbed on for her debut game. So then just minutes later, after she is subbed on, she receives a pass from Natalie Jacobs and makes a beautiful run. She traps it, settles it, and slots it right past the keeper. It is truly clinical. You would think that she had been playing professionally for a long time. Debut game. So unfortunately, the Courage did hold on to their lead, but like, what a debut performance for Rodman. I mean, like, seriously, wow. Like, so cool to score not only in your first game, but within the first few minutes of your first game. Incredible. Next, we have the game versus Racing Louisville FC. So Rodman actually gets a start in this match. Nice. Very cool. We love it. And like I said, we'll just focus on her assist here, but damn. Overall, very, very good in this game. She's persistent, able to read the ball so well. Like, I am super fucking excited. She did so great in this match. It's awesome. This game was like cutthroat, in my opinion. Louisville, like, they never let off the gas. Like, overall, it wasn't like a super exciting game, but Louisville never letting off the gas is not something that you would expect from an expansion team this early in the season. I heard the announcers talking about how often expansion teams just like have the excuse of being an expansion team, but like Louisville is not acting like that. And so the Spirit really had to keep fighting. That's why it was deadlocked until this like stoppage time goal, because they truly just kept going. And so we already heard about this a little bit. Thank you, Anna. But because of the stars aligning, shit, as we've mentioned. But Rodman gets such a good read on Huster's ball from the midfield, and she takes it wide, makes a sharp cut like a knife through butter.
We're not even to the Australian pick yet.
And she gives the ball to Sanchez for the goal. Perfect read, stellar assist. Oh.
God, incredible.
Star pun, what? So just as a reminder too, if you didn't remember this or we didn't mention it, Rodman actually never played college ball. Her season was canceled because of the pandemic, and then she decided to go pro. To see this level of play so early on from such a young player means, how do you say, endless potential. So she's the youngest player to ever score in the NWSL, which, I mean, I guess makes sense. If she's the youngest person ever drafted and right. She scores, she's the youngest person to whatever. So anyway.
Oh, I think very much, Captain Obvious.
But still cool. And like Sam Mewis, and like fine wine, and all of us, she will only age with time. Okay, I'm just kidding. She's going to be a GD star. More star references. Keeping with the theme, I am a comedy genius. Thank you. Thank
Incredible.
You.
Also, Tori Huster said in an interview that she frequently forgets Tori Huster, the ball that got sent to Trinity Rodman and also the captain of this team, said that she forgets that Trinity is only 18 because she plays so well and is also so professional, like in practices and with the team. Like, she's already so far ahead in just so many ways that, one, I expect her to be called up to the national team probably after the Olympics at this point.
Yeah, I would say for sure.
But also, she's going to run this league pretty soon.
Yep.
I love it.
The Spirit better hold on to her because her star is rising.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gotta keep it rolling.
Well, we can't stop now. We've clearly got a theme. All right. Moving on to my number two hat pick, which is Ashlyn Harris and Didi Heritage in the Orlando Pride versus Gotham FC with a smattering of Sydney LaRue, because she was like all over the place. Anyway, so we all know and love Ashlyn Harris. She's a constant call up to the U.S. Women's National Team. She's a beloved queer, and she's the starting keeper for the Orlando Pride. We know where we love her. You got it. Didi Heritage, I know we haven't talked about, so the likelihood that y'all know her is, less. Some might say none. It's fine. So some background info on Didi Heritage. Originally from Bosnia-Herzegovina, and she moved to America when she was a wee child, and then she's been playing at the professional level since 2011. She went to college at Loyola University, and then after college, she started at DC United Women's, which is now a USL team because the NWSL did not exist in 2011. And then once the NWSL did exist, most of her time in the league has been with the Washington Spirit, except for one season with the Western New York Flash, which is now the North Carolina Courage. And then a couple seasons ago, she got traded to the team formerly known as Sky Blue FC, now known as the Super Rad Gotham FC.
We love the rebrand. It's super dope.
So good. So all that to let you know that Heritage has been around the league for a while. She's not a rookie. She's not a newbie. She knows what she's doing. Getting back to the soccer.
Yes.
most of this fic is going to be me talking about Didi Heritage, I'm going to be honest. But I would be a ding-dang idiot if I didn't bring up Ashlyn Harris in the 11th minute. After a cross from Gotham FC that didn't find anyone quite the way that they would have liked, Kanya Plummer, defender for Orlando, gets called for a handball in the box, giving Gotham FC a penalty. Originally, the commentators were talking about how it was a pass back to the goalie that Ashlyn picked up, but it wasn't. It was a handball. We all looked at the tape. Nahomi Kawasumi, who literally everybody in the league loves, when she left the formerly Reign FC, everybody was so sad that she left because everybody loves her. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited that she gets to have that same energy on this team. Yay! Where you have the drag that is known as Carly Lloyd. So I feel like it'll be good. Anyway. Nahomi Kawasumi steps up to the spot to take the penalty for Gotham. And she sends it not quite to the full corner, but she sends it to the lower 90 kind of like left area. And Ashlyn Harris straight up just says, "Not in my house, bitch.
Read my lips. No."
Because she stopped it and was able to get on top of it and hold on to it so that no one could follow up to score the goal. It was the kind of penalty stop that you expect to see from a keeper as experienced and at the elite level as Ashlyn Harris. It's the kind of stuff that you want to see when a penalty is scored, because penalties are really hard to stop. For me, whenever I see anybody stop a penalty, I don't care if I'm rooting for you or not, I'm amped.
That's good shit.
I love that. Anyway, it was really good. It was a good stop. One of the only good things that happened to Ashlyn Harris in this game. But we're moving on. 38th minute. Sydney LaRue, who quite honestly was doing the most for this Orlando frontline. She plays all alone up top as a striker, and it was very clear in this game. Sydney LaRue was going step for step with Gina Lewandowski, Gotham defender, but LaRue gets a great shot off at the top of the 18, but Didi Heritage came off her line, cut off the angle, gave LaRue less space around her, and stopped that shot. Heritage was a solid, like, 2 yards outside of the six. So she was like not just off her line, but she was way off of her line. And she said, "I will out geometry you. Don't you worry. I got this." A couple minutes later, 42nd minute, a great ball gets sent up to LaRue again by Allie Krieger. Krieg sends it from the half line and finds LaRue at the top of the 18. Before I talk about the great work that Heritage did, I'm going to quickly mention the great work Sydney LaRue is doing, because in this matchup, she had two defenders on her. Like, that's...
Nope.
And she still manages to get a touch on the ball to try to score. When I said that Sid the Kid was doing the most, I meant it. Okay, so back to Didi Heritage. She once again comes off her line to cut off the angle, and the touch that LaRue got on the ball basically goes straight into her arms because she was smart and came so far off her line. If she had stayed back, she probably still could have gotten it, but that gave LaRue more space to follow it up. Like, it could have been one touch and then she followed it up. I know LaRue was kind of falling as she touched it, but there's more of an opportunity that another Orlando player could have gotten in there. But Heritage was smart, came far off her line, and shut that shit down. All right. First half, entertaining, good goalkeeping. Moving on. Most of the second half just kind of happened. The ball went back and forth and back and forth. Some chances, not good ones. Balls over the top of the goal. Like, it was just whatever. But in the 82nd minute, Sydney LaRue... because, I mean, who else could it be at this point?
Literally no
one. Got her head on a long ball that I think went wider than Heritage thought it was going to go. And she dove and stopped the ball like a goddamn champ. And Didi Heritage had... these were, like, the three stops that I thought were the best out of this game. But she had other great stops. And Ashlyn Harris had a few, too. But Gotham FC did score a picture-perfect goal against the Pride in the 72nd minute, which won them the game. But not before we saw some... work smarter, not harder goalkeeping.
Yes.
Which I love, because that is a thing that Ashlyn Harris doesn't always do. But also, I will say that that goal that was scored was kind of Allie Krieger's fault, which also happened in the stoppage time goal in our number one hat pick. Oh, no. That was also kind of Allie Krieger's fault. I wonder if it's trouble because they have a newborn baby. And so, like, sleep and, like, all those other things are, like...
maybe not coming as readily as they once did.
Yeah, priorities have shifted. And so I wonder if that's, like, part of it. And I kind of wonder how much longer Allie Krieger is going to go before she retires. And she said in interviews before that she really wants to be a mom and she wants to do that. So I wonder if we're not going to see much more of Allie Krieger, especially if she keeps doing
that.
Anyway, we love to see good keepers.
Yes.
That's my two hat pick.
So in this vein of keepers, we're going down under for this pick for Jada Wyman's performance in the WWE Grand Final versus Melbourne Victory. So, like I mentioned earlier, our only pick not from the United States of America.
Look at you.
So our W League season has come to a close, and it was full of some real good shit, I must say. You know, this is the first time I've ever really paid attention to the W League, like, consistently, and I was really impressed. Woo-hoo. So while we secretly, not so secretly, because she was in like every pick we ever had, hope to see the comeback queen, Michelle Heyman, playing in the W League Grand Final, Canberra did not advance past the first game in the final series. So our two teams were Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory. And this game, I will tell you, went on for actual ever. So much extra time. Do you know why, listener, that it went on for so long? Do you?
Probably not, because none of them watch these games.
That's true. But I'm here to tell you, so it's okay. It's because Jada Wyman, keeper for Sydney FC, was a goddamn ball-stomping machine. Literally. I don't know that I have ever seen so many incredible saves, one after the other, consecutively in a row.
We love a Schitt's Creek reference.
Copyright David Rose.
Copyright Dan Levy.
Yes. Yes. Both and.
Yes.
So for context on just how amazing getting to this game was for Wyman. So this is her first season with Sydney FC. Told Anna earlier, I really assumed that she was like veteran player, much older. In a way, she is a veteran player, but she is 21 years old. Oh my God. She made her debut in the W League in 2015 and played for Western Sydney. And then she tore her fucking thigh.
Ouch.
Yikes.
No, thank you.
Good God.
Hard pass.
So, like, the fact that she is able to come back after she expressed that she was afraid that she was never going to really be able to play her best soccer again, to earn the first keeper spot on Sydney FC, which is, like, obviously one of the top teams in the league, and to play this well, just in general, not even considering how incredible she was in this particular match, it's super dope, and we love to see it. Love it.
I will also say that Australia's W League rules about ages for when players can start. So, like, obviously she started when she was like 15 or 16.
Right.
And we're having that same conversation in America now, because there's a player on the Thorns reserve squad who does all of the work of a professional athlete but can never get playing time because she's only 15 or 16.
Yeah, and she went pro at like 13.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, America could take a page out of Australia's book.
Absolutely.
In this regard, there are a few other ways too, but there are also some ways that we could not do that.
Right. But this in particular, I mean, that's how you see a Sam Kerr coming out.
Right.
And playing as long as she did. I remember I said the last episode that she and Michelle Heyman started playing in the W League at the same time when it started in 2008, but there's a 5-year difference between them. Mm-hmm. So Sam Kerr was pretty young when she started.
And it happens with a lot of Australian players, and that's why we get such good soccer out of them. Mm-hmm. Because they get to play at a professional and then international level for a long time.
Right.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Back to Jada.
We love it, Jada Wyman. So on to the game itself. Wyman was a big-ass thorn in the Victory side because she was, like, literally always fucking there. Punching balls, slapping balls, reaching out really wide for balls. I mean, like, all over
the goalie
place.
Things. All the goalie things.
All of them. Like, the Victory had so many opportunities, and, like, Jesus fucking Christ, they could not get it by Wyman. I felt really bad for them in a way. I mean, they end up winning, but it's fine. So the save of the game, in my humble opinion, adjective not usually used to describe me, but it came in the 83rd minute. So it's the end, or so we think, bam, 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 of a very hard-fought match so far. And Wyman has already come up big a few times. The Melbourne Victory make a great run up the right side of the pitch. The player crosses it for Kyra Cooney Cross. Crosses it for Cross. Ha 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 ha. Who is perfectly, also, Bebe, 19 years old.
Chivas.
She is perfectly positioned by the goal and gets ahead on it. I mean, like, at any time this would happen in a game, you would think, that's a goal. It's happening. Incorrect, because who is there but Jada Wyman? I have never seen anything like this. Wyman reads the ball, grabs onto the right post, and uses her stomach to keep it in. To keep the ball in play, to keep it out of the goal.
Yeah.
And, like, it most definitely would have gone in. Like, I cannot describe this enough. Like, I cannot emphasize it enough. Wyman falls into the net, and Cooney Cross is there again on the rebound. And it's kind of hard to see, but either she sends it wide and it goes out, or, like, Wyman gets a little bit of a toe on it to keep it out. They call it a double save. It's hard to tell. But, like, she gets the fuck up and, like, is there again. And, like, I was typing this during, like, a very leisurely morning, like, very slow morning. And, like, my cat was chilling on my lap and not a lot happening. And I could, like, feel my heart rate, like, going up just, like, reliving this. It was masterful. So good. Because of this particular save, among others, obviously, and honestly some luck, because there were some times when shit didn't go so great and Sydney FC just got lucky, this shit goes to extra time. And if you don't know, the way extra time usually works in games like this is there are two 15-minute halves. And then if you don't score within those time, it's not a golden goal situation. So you can score within the – you play it full time. You play the full 30 minutes. So you have all that time to score. It's not golden goal where if you score, the game's over. So it goes to extra time. And then Wyman continues to come up big a few more times. And you can see, like I said earlier, you can just see the frustration on the Melbourne Victory players' faces. They're just, like, in complete disbelief that all of these –
just let the ball go in.
I mean, they have great opportunities. These are great balls, like, that normally would go in if your goalie wasn't that good. But oh my gosh, like, Wyman does not stop. But then in the 121st minute, holy God, Cooney Cross gets it in off of a corner. It's a clusterfuck in the goal, and Wyman is fighting for it, but it just was not enough. And the victory emerged victorious. Ha ha ha. But, oh man, that game would have been over a lot sooner if it had not been for Wyman. I think she was voted the player of the game. Just an incredible, outstanding performance. Like, this is goalkeeping at its finest. And she is 21. So it's only going to get better from here. I expect some call-ups for the Matildas for her.
Yeah, especially since Lydia Williams is, I think she's 30 now. She gets injured a lot.
Yeah.
And so it'll be really nice to have a player like Wyman available for that. Because I know they also have Tegan Micah.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Mackenzie Arnold, who we've talked about before.
Yes. So our goalkeeping number twos for you. I don't know what that was. Sorry.
Where you were from. It was like sort of your Tennessee accent, but also not.
Great times. All right, Anna, hit us up with that honorable mention, please.
Of course. So honorable mention this week is that the WNBA season is starting soon.
Wait, 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 wait.
Yeah. It's okay. All right. No, this has nothing to do with soccer. All right. No, I do not care. And no, I will not stop. But we said it before, and we'll say it again. On this pod, we love all sports featuring women.
Okay? And we do what we want.
Also that. There is also that. So, like I mentioned earlier in my pick, the WNBA draft happened recently as we're getting ready for the new season of the WNBA. And the NCAA women's tournament just finished. And that was buck wild. So good. I love March Madness, and the women's tournament this year was just so good. I mean, the men's tournament was, like, also wild. There's a lot of upsets, and that was really fun. But also the women's tournament, we got to see and recognize a lot of players that we wouldn't normally see, and now we get to watch them in the WNBA for the 25th season, a milestone season. We love it. Anyway.
Love it.
The season starts on May 14th with 4 games in one day for your enjoyment. There were a lot of trades that were made and retirements announced during the offseason, so the teams have been shuffled quite a lot, and this season is going to be so good. If you think that you are moderately interested in watching another sport featuring women, I highly recommend you tune into some WNBA games this season, because they play some on ESPN, sometimes ESPN2, and ABC. So, you know, you can watch them. Also, every team released new jerseys for the milestone season, and they are chef's kiss. Impeccable. And I will say another reason you should watch the WNBA if you're interested is during the bubble last year, you know, the women's bubble, because we couldn't just call it also the bubble. Anyway, every team wore shirts at one point in the season that said vote Warnock because Kelly Loeffler, former Georgia senator, and general piece of shit, was part owner of the Atlanta Dream and constantly made racist comments and decisions in the Senate. Then Warnock won the election. We love that journey.
Yes.
Loeffler was bought out of her portion of the Dream by a few people, one of which was Renee Montgomery, one of the players who announced her retirement after 11 seasons and two championships in the WNBA. Yay! Renee Montgomery was an Atlanta Dream player at the end of her career, a Black player, like so many of them in the league, who had to deal with the repercussions of Loeffler making racist decisions in her position of power in the government. So, if you love strong players who do not back down, who stand up for each other and others, who work hard to make a difference, the WNBA is the place for you, all right? So you should go and watch games with these bomb.com players because they are so deserving of the viewership, quite honestly, and the support.
Fuck yeah.
Go watch games. Also, go Merc.
Nice. That stands for Mercury.
Yes, the in Phoenix Mercury.
Did you know that Mercury is also a planet?
Space.
Space.
It's also the Connecticut Sun.
Also in space.
there's no longer the San Antonio Stars. Do we have another space one? Maybe.
I mean, technically we're all in space, aren't we?
Anyway, go watch the WNBA.
Which brings us to
our number one hot pick.
Number one, yes. There you go.
I got that.
You did it. So this is a shared number one because it's all the action and debut goals in the Racing Louisville versus Orlando Pride opening game in the Challenge Cup.
Yes.
Which I will insert later. Yes. So, as we all know, and if you don't, I'm telling you again, Racing Louisville FC, expansion team, first season, big ass deal.
Against the most recent other expansion team that has joined. Yes.
I actually almost said that, but I didn't. So, this opening match at home for Louisville in the fucking rain was versus the Orlando Pride. It was a thriller. It ultimately ended in a tie 2-2, which is sad because we love a win or a loss, I guess, technically for the other team. Yeah. But we love a definitive game. But the action never stopped. And for a brand new team, Louisville did a great job holding their own, as I mentioned earlier, for a different game. Also true for this game.
Yes.
So it should be noted that every single goal in this match for both teams were debut goals in the NWSL. How cool is that shit? None of these people had ever scored before.
That's
pretty fucking cool. So as we said, it was raining, but really, truly, if I'm being honest, it appeared to be, how do you say, a torrential downpour.
Yes.
For much of this match. So shout out to all the players and coaches from both teams for pushing through that shit because it looked bad. And the fans too. So playing in the rain, just a fun fact, it can be cool. It can be fun to a point. But if you're slipping and sliding and can't get a good foot on the ball, it just becomes frustrating. And these teams really did not let it get to them. So that was great to see.
Yeah. And as Jillian mentioned, neither did the fans who stayed out there and toughed it out for the entire thing. And I think that as the league grows, Louisville fans will rival Portland fans, especially because when Louisville scores a goal, the like lights go on and off. They let one of those smoke stick things that Portland and a few other teams do. They're establishing an atmosphere that makes you want to go to a game and support them and then invest because it's just like fun to be there. And I love every second of it because I mean, I love the Thorns, and part of it is because we have great fans. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because we have four debut goals that all deserve attention, we're mostly going to focus on those. But I will say, as I mentioned before, Ashlyn Harris killed it once again this game for the most part. I mean, obviously she let two goals go by, but whatever. But she had a lot of great stops, and I think that deserves a quick shout out. Michelle Beto's had a few too, but I think Ashlyn Harris took the brunt of that.
Definitely. So first goal. Cece Kaiser, who played for the Houston Dash for what feels like forever and never scored, scores her first goal on her new team, which is dope as hell. So 12th minute, number one draft pick, Emily Fox. I don't know what sound. Oh my God, there's a song, isn't there? What I was like, what sound does a fox make? So Emily Fox sends a great ball from the back line through two Orlando defenders right in front of Cece Kaiser. Kaiser takes a couple of touches to bring her closer to the goal, and in the process, she separates from the defender covering her a bit, and she sends it near post, and it just goes straight the fuck in. It was a bold choice by Kaiser because as Harris comes off her line, the section on the left is small. So Harris doesn't expect her to go for the small side and just is not prepared for it. Great first goal, a great debut goal for Louisville and for Cece Kaiser. A first franchise goal is a big deal. So it was really cool to see it come so early for them.
Yeah, and especially as the first goal of the game.
Yeah.
It was dope. So second first goal. The ball is in the far corner with Marissa Vigiano taking it away from Emily Fox and then passes it to Maggie Doherty Howard, who is at the far top corner of the 18. Doherty Howard sends in a lofted ball. Like, if you look up lofted ball in the dictionary, you'd see a picture of this. It was just like the lofted ball. The ball finds 6'1" Taylor Korniak.
Wow.
Watch out, Samu, as we may have someone coming for your Tower of Power spot. Korniak gets her head on the ball, or when you're that far up in space, got there. If you don't get your head on that ball, we got a lot of work to do. Anyway, Korniak gets her head on the ball and it goes back post and then it hits the post. So in this moment, either the ball is going to hit the post and go out or it's going to hit the post and go in. And either way, Michelle Batos is not involved because she was way on the other side of the goal for both. She dove and wasn't going to get anywhere near it. But spoiler, the ball hit the post and went in for Korniak's debut goal. First half over, tied, 1-1. Love it.
Yes. Now, third first goal. This goal starts and ends with Abby Kim, which we love to see. And just to point out, she has a big-ass cast on her arm. Actually, two Orlando Pride players have big-ass casts on. So good for her for being able to do this with some kind of broken appendage. Yeah. Kim passes the ball to Marta. That one. The Marta, who does typical Marta things and manages to send a perfect ball at the perfect time, right where it should go, straight into the run of Maggie Doherty Howard. She is outrageous and we love her.
Yes.
So Doherty Howard gets the ball mid-stride, takes a touch and sends a through ball cutting between Phoebe McClernand.
Right. Yep, that's right. I double checked.
And Allie Riley back to Abby Kim. So Kim, first touch, hits the ball with the inside of her foot while
sliding.
So she could attempt to get something on it, and she sends a high curled ball straight over the hand of Michelle Batos to put Orlando up 2-1 in the 88th minute.
Wow.
So it's looking good for Orlando, only a few minutes left, and that was a beautiful goal. I mean, that was a truly gorgeous goal. And I feel like Orlando's probably thinking at this point that they're going to leave Louisville with 3 points, and Louisville's going to get 0, and it's going to be a win for Orlando. But no, we get a stoppage time goal, baby. Tell us about it, Anna.
Our fourth first goal is in the 93rd minute. Savannah McCaskill takes a free kick, which is set up 30 or 35 yards away from the goal. It's pretty far out. And she sends it in, and I don't think that it was quite the touch she wanted on it because I think she wanted it to curl more, and it didn't. So she sends it in near the back post, but pretty high up into the 18. And then it gets headed down by Swedish international Freya Olofsson, and it manages in the clusterfuck that is happening in the 18 to find the feet of Brooke Hendricks. Hendricks gets it, sends it low to the far post across her body where Ashlyn Harris is just not expecting it. She doesn't even dive. She doesn't do anything because she did not think the ball would get there and equalizes late into the game. There's only 2 more minutes of stoppage time after this. Louisville snatched those 3 points straight out of Orlando's hands and said, "This is our house. Get out." And, you know, we just love a team debut. We love debut goals. And we love a dramatic game.
Absolutely. And this game had the drama. And with the lights going off at the end, and I mean, the Louisville team and the fans were just ecstatic. Even to have a tie for their opening game was incredible for them. So what a debut. It was amazing.
What a debut. Okay. We have a topic this week. I know we haven't had one in a while. but we have one this week because there are so many things that we have to talk about because there are some major hat drops. So sometimes people tip their hats. Sometimes people drop them. And we are dropping every single hat we have this week because of some just general sad shit and also some very racist shit and other general bullshit happening in the NWSL. And we are here to cover it all for all of you wonderful listeners. And by all of you wonderful listeners, we mean our family. So let's begin with something. Our family and Sherry. Thanks, Sherry. Let's begin with something we almost never say, and certainly something we never want to have to say.
U.S. Women's National Team sort of sucked last week, and by sort of, I mean definitely. So, as you know, because we never shut up about them, the U.S. Women's National Team played in two friendlies in Sweden, and France.
I like that yeah is parentheses.
Yeah. So this is over the last week or so. Unlike some of the teams that we have played in friendlies in the recent past, or even teams like Argentina in the She Believes Cup, these teams would not be a walk in the park. Definitely were not. You know what we've been doing in these friendlies against Sweden and France and against Brazil and the She Believes? Acting like fucking idiots and just thinking we could smash every team 6-0. Newsflash, alert, FYI. We cannot. So France and Sweden and even Brazil are good teams. Really fucking good. Top 10. Sweden is perhaps the biggest bee in our bonnet. One of my coworkers said that the other day and I thought it was hilarious. And with the biggest bee in our bonnet consistently, we sucked against them on April 10th. Like, I cannot express it enough.
It was bad.
We ended up tying 1-1, but like, we absolutely did not deserve it. We played like dog shit and got super lucky with a penalty call. Honestly, kind of an insult to dog shit. And of course, Megan Rapinoe saved our asses from losing for the first time since 2019, but it was sloppy play for 90 plus minutes.
Yeah, and we can only hope that that's a wake-up call to see like where they need to. I mean, I know that commentators and in general, they were talking about how it's like good that they sucked so hard because now they can learn where they need to, but like that was like a lot more than I think anybody was expecting.
It was bad. So, and also Sweden played well, by the way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Not only did we just suck, Sweden did a great job. I do not want to do a disservice to Sweden by not like giving them the credit due to them. They played an excellent game.
Yeah, because a lot of them play on some of the best teams in the world outside of their national team. So they get a lot of great, I mean, we talk about Magdalena Eriksson all the time. She plays for Chelsea and she's a Swedish player.
Yeah. Anyway,
so we slightly improved against our game versus France, but like kind of not really. So we just got lucky again with the penalty call, and the French team had so many missing players because of COVID stuff with the OL squad. Anyway, Alex Morgan got a goal as well, and we won 2-0. But if we're going to stand even a little bit of a chance in the Olympics, we need a wake-up call. And I think these games did it, but honestly, we should have lost in the Sweden game. And Jillian and I were talking about this, but like it would have been almost good if they had lost because it would have been the slap in the face that we needed. Like the tie allowed us to kind of see where we were struggling. But when you lose first, all these young players, you kind of get to see how they deal with that because we haven't had to do that before. And especially players who've been recalled up. We don't know how Christy Mews is going to deal with a loss. We haven't seen her in a long time. Tierna Davidson. I mean, you see them deal with losses in the NWSL, but that's different. You have a different dynamic of players.
It's different.
So it was just a hat dropped. Be better. You cannot beat every team you play with out trying.
Okay? Insert clap emoji after every word.
It was just a clusterfuck, and it was not fun to watch. It was stress-inducing and not in like a close game fun way, you know?
No.
In other U.S. Women's National Team news, Tobin Heath, our beloved Tobin Heath, will not be playing with Manchester United for the remainder of the season and is coming back to the U.S. to rehab her ankle injury, which is truly devastating and probably means that her injury is worse than we thought, and it's a bummer. We don't know what this means for Tobin's Olympic prospects, but probably not great.
Ouch.
And we don't know what this means with for her future with Man U, because she only had a one-year contract signed, and I don't think she had any intention of playing with Racing Louisville, yikes, because she didn't even know that she was going to be sent there. So I don't know what that means, but it's a big bummer and a hat drop out of sadness.
Oh, so sad. So now, on to our NWSL racist slash bullshit hat drops.
Mm.
So what an opening week for the NWSL Challenge Cup, and not necessarily in a good way. Oh, where should I begin, Anna? Should I begin with Sarah Gordon and her boyfriend being profiled by a security guard after the Chicago versus Dash game, or the Dash's super bad response to it? Or the fine Chicago and Gotham FC, formerly Sky Blue, just as a reminder, got for speaking out about it. Or Julie Ertz being the last player to speak up for her teammate by a mile. Or the fines that Megan Klingenberg received after calling out the shit refereeing in the Thorns versus Kansas City game that led to a dangerous situation with Morgan Weaver and Kristen Edmonds. And then Kristen Edmonds getting worse punishment. I'm so worried that we will have a general lack of content for you today. Here's a rundown with the Sarah Gordon sitch. As a reminder, Sarah Gordon plays for the Chicago Red Stars, is an outspoken member of the Black Women's Player Collective. She and her boyfriend, a black man, were profiled by security after the game, and her boyfriend was told he'd be arrested if he got close. In theory, this was because they were not following COVID-19 protocols about seeing family after the game. But, and not surprisingly, there were white players with their families everywhere. And Sarah and her boyfriend were the only players called out. Security said they'd approach other people later, but never did. And that is fucked up.
And then the Dash put out this awful response.
Oh my God. Truly terrible.
So following last night's match against Chicago Red Stars, a number of Houston Dash players violated league COVID-19 protocols by visiting their family members in the stands. We are aware of comments made by a player from Chicago this morning, and we would like to assure her and the Red Stars organization that our staff was entirely focused on COVID safety, and we apologize to her and the club for anything that may have created an impression of the contrary, blah, 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 some other bullshit. They didn't even call her by her name and completely dismissed her experience.
And then to cover their asses, which it truly was to do that, they put out another statement calling Sarah by her name and saying that there was a formal investigation underway, but like, yikes to the PR folks who let that first statement get out into the wild. Like, what? Who launched that into space?
Idiots.
Truly. So Sarah Spain, a Red Stars co-owner and also an ESPN personality,
yeah,
and Elise LaHue, a general manager of Gotham FC, both spoke out publicly against this and were fined by the NWSL for violating a memo that said, quote, they urged front office members to not comment on the investigation. And that is some shit, NWSL. Folks calling out blatant racism and then getting fined, like, sit your butts down. Like, that's some bullshit.
Yeah. And then not only did they get fined for doing that, but Houston Dash got no formal reprimand besides the investigation for what happened. And then on top of that, Julie Ertz, by far, was the last person to put out a statement of support for Sarah Gordon, fellow Red Stars teammate, a statement that was put together by the Red Stars players. We assume that it was peer pressure, but it sure as fuck wasn't that she was abroad, because Tiana Davidson and Alyssa Nair were able to post their things. So it was just kind of questionable by Julie Ertz. That's not how you lead a team. And then on to the Portland versus Kansas City situation. So this was already a tense game by the 90th minute when shit went down. Simone Charlie was yellow carded twice and ejected from the game. And then Mark Parsons, the coach, also received a red card for his comments. Yikes. Very tense. Much drama. Overwhelming. Yes.
Oh my God. I was watching this game. Anna didn't watch it till later. And I was texting. I was like, are you watching this right now? Like, it was so intense. So then in the 90th plus minute, there is a very dangerous play in the corner. Portland is up 2-1 at this point, and they take it to the corner to try to kill time. And this is usually a very dangerous move, if not stopped pretty quickly. The ref, Daniel Chesky, absolutely should have stopped that play, but did not. So Morgan Weaver of the Thorns and Kristen Edmonds of Kansas City get tangled and fall down as this play is ending and the ball is moving upfield again. Upon getting up, Weaver charges at Edmonds, and Edmonds hits Weaver in the face, like purposefully hits her in the face. And it's all very intense. So both Weaver and Edmonds receive red cards, and eventually, with no official stoppage time being added, Chesky calls the game.
Right. So this is very layered. Portland put footage of the incident on Twitter and said, quote, Morgan Weaver is innocent because on first look, from the angle that you watch the game on TV, it isn't immediately obvious that Weaver charged Edmonds. But she did, which you can see on other camera angles that were available on the internet later. And it's problematic to put all the blame on Edmonds, who is a black player. The tweet was eventually deleted and Portland issued an apology, but yikes, not great. And it was only deleted after Sarah Gordon called it out. The amount of work that black players do in this league is astronomical. I put that in there before the space thing happened, and this worked really well. So Portland was also successfully able to appeal Weaver's red card, but Edmonds received an additional game suspension and I believe a fine, which could not be appealed. The treatment over the situation was very unequal.
And I will say that even I sided with Weaver at first, but after watching more footage and necessarily being called out about my own racial bias and having Anna keep me accountable, I do see that Weaver was also at fault and her card should not have been appealed and it should not have been rescinded. And the Thorns, while trying to be funny and cheeky with their post, still, as Sarah Gordon put it, perpetuated the storyline that black people are angry and aggressive and that white people are innocent.
Yeah, so there was definitely some racist shit happening there. Not good. But truly, all of this could have been avoided initially had Danielle Chesky stopped the dangerous play, and she should have. Megan Klingenberg rightly called that shit out for the bad refereeing that it was, and she was also fined. And so was, I think, Merritt Paulson, who's the owner of the Thorns, for also saying something.
Jesus Christ. Like, this is so much drama and, like, unnecessary drama, too. And it's, like, a bunch of racist nonsense happening. Like, honestly, these hat drops were, like, never fucking ending this week. It just, like, our list, it kept growing. And we expect more from the NWSL, and we will continue to be very vocal because that is all we are good at.
Yeah, and because we don't get fined for it.
Also true.
Yeah, every person and entity that spoke out this week got fined because of rules within the NWSL. Rules that are, you know, one might call censorship. Rules that prevent players, coaches, staff, and owners from speaking out against the bad shit that happens in the league, whether it's refereeing or racist nonsense. So we're not here for that, and we're going to continue to call it out, not only because we are good at being loud and obnoxious, but also because it shouldn't be the responsibility of the black players and the black people who enjoy the sport to constantly have to do that.
Absolutely. And just as a reminder, also calling it out on ourselves. Like I said before, like, I didn't immediately see this and that's on me. And so we still have work to do, but we're going to continue to try to call things out as we see them because it's really necessary. And like Anna said, it shouldn't just be for the black players to have to do.
Yeah.
So a lot of disappointing stuff happening. Really expect more from the NWSL. What a first week. Wow. Hope to see some improvements in many areas.
Just so many.
The list goes on. But that's all that we have this week. I'm sure that hopefully it will be better things next week or next pod for a topic. But there's a lot, you know, there's a lot more of the Challenge Cup left and shit goes on.
Yeah, there's like 3 weeks left in the Challenge Cup. And then there's a short break before the rest of the NWSL season. So we're going to see a lot of stuff coming up. And I hope it is much better than this.
And there's also probably some shit happening in England too, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
As Anna mentioned earlier, Vivian Miedema had her 100th appearance for Arsenal. Hey, Anna, tell us how many goals she scored in those 100 appearances.
92.
That's a 92% success rate in the game she's played.
Math! This is only funny because we had this whole conversation before we started.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, but there's some good stuff happening in England in terms of the games, and maybe we'll cover them next time. But also there were quite a few other international friendlies. Mm-hmm. And Champions League came back today because after, like, why Katarina Macario and so many of those French players were out of the last game, the PSG-OL game happened today, and Katarina Macario scored her first goal.
Yay!
I don't know if it's her first goal. Maybe it is. Yeah, it is.
It's one of them.
She scored a goal today in the fourth minute, and it's exciting because it was early.
So fear not, listeners. We will always have soccer to speak about. Always. And if we don't, we'll find other ways to speak about it.
We'll watch old soccer games and speak about it.
That was really fun. I'm excited to do that again. We've already picked out what game we would do when we do it again. So just wait. But all yes.
Right. Well, you should follow us on Instagram and Twitter at HatPixPod. You should send us an email at HatPixPod@gmail.com. If you have questions about the WNBA, you can email me there.
Or space knowledge.
Yeah, or space knowledge. If you could just give us some of that, that'd be cool. But yeah, hotpigspot@gmail.com. Email us.
Yeah. Great. Super. We also have a website.
Oh, yeah. Hotpigspod.com, I think. I don't know.
That seems right.
I'll check. Hotpigs. Hotpigspod.com.
Great. We're doing an upstanding job of keeping up with things. On that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the Hotpigs Podcast. Sorry, I had to plug in my computer. It was going to die.